another edition on Community Radio of Between the Covers on Literature Quickie with your host, Tofu Dave. And today, I've got one of the editors of an interesting new volume, The Penguin, Book of the International Short Story, edited by John Freeman. And on the line today, the novelist, Robbie Alameddine. Robbie, are you there?
I am here. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is an honor and a wonder. I've read every story in this new title, The International Short Story by Penguin, and I was surprised. You're primarily a novelist, and you helped edit a book of short stories. What was your goal in selecting these stories?
There's always more than one goal, and I had many for this one. But primarily what I was interested in is sort of expanding what we consider a short story, expanding how we look at a short story. And it started out with this idea I had for a class that I taught. I called it Around the World in 40 Stories. And I started looking at basically stories in translation primarily. And I was fascinated at the breadth and depth of them. And I started realizing that, particularly in the United States and in the Western world in some ways, we seem to limit ourselves to a certain kind of short story. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to introduce people to introduce readers to something different, shall we say?
Well, that's very interesting. You know, I'm a longtime reader of The New Yorker and the magazine. And I remember in a recent documentary about The New Yorker, the editor, David Remick, commented at one point, because The New Yorker is known for running short story fiction, he commented once, well, there are many of our subscribers that hate the short stories and won't read the fiction in The New Yorker and skip it in every issue. And then he said, at the same time, we have a whole bunch of subscribers who, that's the first thing they turn to, is to read the new fiction story in The New Yorker. I was surprised at that. I won't tell you which camp I fall into personally, but hearing him say that surprised me. What is your reaction? Do you find that among American readers, that same division? Would you agree with a view of
that? I agree that there are a lot of, the percentage of Americans who read fiction, whether it be novels, short stories, or whatever, is relatively minor, shall we say. I'm not sure what the percentage is, but it's not as high as I would like it to be. The percentage of people who read short stories is even less than that. But the people who read short stories tend to be, how shall we put this, obsessive about it, militant about it.
And why is that? Why do you think
because it's a form that's not easy, and the pleasure that one gets out of it is so high. But also, I think a lot of it has to do with that there are so many people who dismiss short stories. And let's put it this way, though, those who read poetry are even less than the short stories, and they're even more militant about it than the short stories. And I tend, I love that. It's more than being a fan of the short story. It's being dedicated to the short story form. So, what's lovely is readers come in many, many shapes and sizes, and I have the utmost respect for those of us who read short stories and for those of us who read poetry. As a rule, Americans don't read as much fiction as I would like them to, and they even read less short stories as I would like them to, and less poetry than I would like them to. So, increasing, all that would be lovely.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because not only in politics, I find, but also in the arts, there are subgenres, subcollectives, and the further down what we call any of these rabbit holes we go, people seem to sometimes get even more passionate about their own predilections or tastes. It's sort of like many families, you know, like we love our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, but also in many cultures, the family is where you also have the most heated arguments and disputes.
Yes.
Isn't it funny? Among those we love, we also argue the most. Very similar.
I wrote a whole novel about that. My latest novel was about this man and his mother living together at an old age, and they keep cursing each other at the same time, yet the love is not only undeniable, but unbreakable.
Yes, yes. It's so interesting. Yes. And I guess the short story, it's so much harder in a short form as a writer to say what you want to say, to make the point you want, because it's so condensed.
Each form has its beauty and its difficulties and its greatness. One of the things that I find troublesome, actually, is the kind of the differentiation of fiction from nonfiction, from fiction from, you know, novels from short stories, poetry. In my mind, you know, I read everything and I like everything. And sometimes I think the delineation of everything or the putting in boxes and pigeonholing makes for less interesting reading. You know, I always say that for a novelist, maybe you do not get as much from a short story. Maybe I think you would, but what you do get is you learn something. I learn a lot from short stories. I learn a lot from poetry. And, of course, I learn a lot from novels. So if we start limiting our reading, we miss out on the bigger world, shall we say.
Well, I think that's so true. And it reminds me of something I did want to ask you that is probably going to be a little contentious. And since in the last 10 minutes we've become somewhat of intellectual friends, I will dare to raise this topic. As I read the stories in the Penguin Book of the International Short Story, which you just edited with John Freeman, I maybe inaccurately, but I found that many of the initial stories that I recall in the first half of the book had a large element of sexuality in them. I found that very provocative and surprising. Was that intentional in the selections the two of you made, or is it somewhat accidental in terms of who is writing and what they are choosing to write in their short stories?
Interesting question. I don't think we went in going, ooh, let's pick short stories with sexual content. I don't think either one of us went in with any strict guidelines. But it obviously every book of short stories, every anthology, will be geared towards the editor's preferences, shall we say, or the choices that he made. I tend to, obviously, I love all kinds of short stories, but I'm very interested in how come one of the most natural and one of the motivation of most people in the world is the sexual connection. Yet that is so rare in literature. And I find that sometimes astounding, really. It's understandable, but it is astounding. So something when sexuality works in a short story, it's amazing. And I thought, for most of the book, most of the stories that we picked that had sex in it, I thought they were amazing. And sex was not a side thing. It was one of the primary movers of the story, and as it is in life. And that was, for me, that was a biggie, you know, like to have something that reflects the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. Part of the issues, I mean, it's lovely that you mentioned the New Yorker to start with. One of the things that I find troublesome about the New Yorker fiction issue is that, I mean, it's not troublesome because they pick what the editors like and it limits them. I pick what I like and that limits me. But what I was trying to do is bring something more than the traditional social realist short story. And one of the ways that you break boundaries, because it's so rarely talked about, is sexuality. And that I was really interested in. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's a wonderful answer. And I'm so interested that you mentioned the term social realist writing, because mm-hmm. I do have to admit one of my biases, and I'm a nonfiction writer myself, mm-hmm. is I tend to have a preference for a social realist style. So it's mm-hmm. interesting that you say that, because that term is currently, I would think, in literary circles, a bit out of favor, both in how people write, but also on the meta-critical level of mm-hmm. how people talk about writing. So it's interesting to me that you use the term in the first place. Yeah.
Well, the thing that's important is I'm not criticizing it, because it not only is it valuable, I mean, I sometimes think this is what I write anyway. What I'm interested in is expanding what we like. So obviously in the short stories, in the book, there are a lot of stories that rely on social realism. I mean, it's essential to how we write. But there are also stories that do other things. And that's what I'm interested in, is the variety. What can we learn from the Chinese writer Tan Shu? What can we learn from the story Apples, where, you know, it's a sort of a metafiction story? What can we learn from nonlinear stories? What can we learn from stories where it's, you know, magic realism? That's what I'm interested in, is just the whole gamut of what we are capable of.
Well, that is a wonderful way to wrap up our discussion today. Robbie Alameddine, one of the co-editors with John Freeman of the Penguin Book of the International Short Story, coming out this year of 2026. Robbie, are there any last words you'd like to convey to the educated and literary audience here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina?
Well, there are many, including, you know, go North Carolina, beat Duke. But, just I would love if every one of us is still curious about what a short story can do.
Yes, and we are. Thank you again, Robbie, for discussing your new edited volume, The Penguin Book of the International Short Story, with us here on Between the Covers, a literature quickie. Audience, loving this discussion, loving having you. We'll be back at you next week with another quickie. Your host, Tofu Dave. See you again soon.